All right. Hello again, everybody. Mike Salmon with you alongside Dan, our producer. We are at the Contractors, Closers, and Connections networking event at the Ivy in Buckhead. And joining us now is Alex Cartwright, Villicus Capital. Thanks for stopping by. You actually got to speak tonight to the crowd. Tell us about some of your talking points.
Sure. I'm an economics professor as my day job, but I'm in commercial real estate when I'm not in the classroom. And my group focuses on converting hospitality assets into multifamily. So we're trying to create affordable housing by finding distressed hotels and converting them to apartment buildings. And Chris asked me to come and talk and give 5 points on what I think will happen on the commercial real estate market in 2024. And I'll tell you, Mike, it's hard enough to teach people economics that he asked me to do it with no PowerPoint. So I got graphs and charts, etc., to support what I'm saying, but this was really a good exercise in making sure that everything that I was saying was simple. And that's how good economics should be. It should be simple and intuitive. So that's what I worked on. 5 points of what I think will happen in the commercial real estate market in the next 12 months.
And I'm thinking, Alex, that typically when you give these talks, people are in drinking and smoking and, you know, partying while you're doing it.
No, but my classes also don't have attendance like this. So maybe I need to be handing out more drinks and I'll get more students, right?
You made some points that I found quite interesting. I'll let you just kind of touch upon them and then I make it more specific with some of the questions.
Sure, you do it. I'm just start off by laying the... you interrupt me anytime, right? Because I'm programmed to talk for 75 minutes at a time. So let me just give you some framework about where we are economically right now. We're in a situation where 40% of every dollar in existence was printed since 2021. Combined with that, we've had $6 trillion in government spending since 2021. Now, I know these numbers get so big, some people can't even make sense of them, right? Like, what does $6 trillion even mean? But let me tell you this, the last three presidents, each one individually, spent more than the previous president and more than every single president in history combined. That's true for the last three presidents individually. So we've got this record high debt, record high spending, and then record high printing. And it's to nobody's surprise that that led to record high inflation. And so even though the Federal Reserve came out at the beginning of this policy and they said, we are not thinking about raising rates. That's a direct quote from our Federal Reserve chairman. Then all of a sudden, in the last 12 months, we see the sharpest, fastest increase in interest rates in modern history. And everybody in the commercial real estate industry says, whoa, this is pretty scary. And that interjects a lot of uncertainty into the market. And so it's been very hard to make economic predictions in that environment. And so I made 5 predictions of what I think will happen in 2024.
Okay.
Here's the one thing you gotta understand in order to understand these predictions. The Federal Reserve, they're charged with doing 2 things. Everybody knows how they manipulate interest rates, and they're trying to keep inflation under control. But they have a dual mandate. And the second part of that mandate is they're charged with keeping the economy at full employment. That doesn't mean 0% unemployment. That's full employment. And kind of the magic number for that in the economics world is 4%. They want that unemployment number to be around 4%.
What is it now?
3.9. Now, let me tell you why that matters. All throughout this past 12 months, we've been in the mid-threes. And you know what that means? They say this economy is strong enough to handle further increases in the interest rate because the unemployment number is not ticking up very much. Now we're at 3.9, so maybe we're close to being done. But I think that if that unemployment number gets over 4%, that is really a clear indication that we're done with interest rate increases. And this is my number one prediction recommendation for the next 12 months is the best predictor of where real estate is going, or where interest rates are going rather, and where real estate is going therefore, is the unemployment rate. Right now, just one more stat for you. Right now we've got about 10.9 million jobs, okay? Yeah. That is a record. That is almost 2x where we were in the economy pre-COVID. Tons of job openings. And we've got about 8.2 million people that are actively searching for work. So there's about a 2.5 million person gap there. That is extremely inflationary. Wages are a big part of inflation. And that very tight labor market, the fact that we've got more job openings than job seekers, putting upward pressure on wages, and that's putting upward pressure on inflation. And so the Federal Reserve has kind of got no choice but to keep hiking rates there until we see that unemployment number tick up a little bit. My other prediction is that the likelihood that we're going to have a recession is, not only is it coming down, it's going to continue to come down in the next 12 months.
The likelihood is going to come down.
The likelihood is going to come down.
That's
so
good.
At the beginning of the year, this was something like 70-80% likely, if you ask most economists, that we're going to have a recession. The average bet right now is something about 50%. And I predict that's going to keep falling. And I think right now that's something between 20 and 30% likelihood that we have any kind of recession in the next 12 months. Every major bank has revised their forecast downwards, and that happened for one big reason. All these old school banks and old school economists are looking at something called the yield curve. And the yield curve has been inverted. And that, in short terms, means that long-term interest rates are lower than short-term interest rates. And in normal times, it's the reverse. Every time that that yield curve has inverted in the last 75-ish years, we've had a recession. And it's predicted the recession about 15 months in advance.
I seem to remember, like maybe a year ago, Alex, people were questioning, are we in the recession now?
Right. That's right. This has been the most talked about non-existent recession. And like, it could still come, but I think people are freaked out because of this yield curve thing. But in short, the yield curve is not as relevant as it used to be, specifically because all of the money printing, when the Federal Reserve prints money, they have to buy stuff with it. They don't just throw it out of a helicopter. Well, what are they buying? Mostly short-term bonds, less than 2 year till maturity bonds. And that's exactly why they have to sell those off, and that's why the rates on those are higher right now. So that yield curve inversion, that's just a product of the Fed messing around with the money supply. It's not reflective of true macroeconomic fundamentals. So instead of looking at the yield curve, what people need to look at, what are companies spending on R&D? That says something about their confidence for the future. They're spending on growth instead of conserving and cutting back. And right now, R&D spending, is at a record high. It's a record high percentage of our economy.
Okay, feeling good about no recession then.
20%, I say, and those odds keep coming down. So we'll review a little bit. You want to understand what's happening with interest rates? You watch the unemployment rate. If it gets over 4%, then we are good. Interest rates are not going up anymore. And then number two, that yield curve inversion, anyone that's talking about that, it's irrelevant. Here's my next prediction. Even though interest rates may come up one more time or stay flat, commercial real estate mortgage rates will come down a little bit. And once we get just stability of interest rates in general, and banks see that real estate is resilient, then those banks will begin to lower their lending standards a little bit. And the risk premium that borrowers have to pay right now, the difference between the treasury interest rate and the interest rate you're getting from your bank, that risk premium for commercial real estate is going to fall a little bit. And here's how you know it's going to fall. As soon as you hear the words super core inflation. So that is this new term. It is not published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics yet. But if it is, that's great news. And Jerome Powell, chair of the Fed, has started talking about it. Super core inflation is inflation without energy and without housing costs. Why does that matter? Because there is such a housing shortage right now, and housing is the biggest part of most people's budgets. That puts a strong upward pressure on all of these measurements of inflation. So if we look year over year in August, housing costs, shelter inflation is like 7.5%, whereas overall inflation is about 4%. If we could subtract the housing costs out of that, which is what super core inflation does, we'd see a lot lower inflation. And the more that the Fed cites that measure, the more that banks and other people are going to calm down, and they're going to realize that they will not keep raising rates.
All right. Okay, number four. We're doing more than teasing people. We're giving everything away.
Can give it all away. It's fine.
Number four.
You want to create value and create value and create value. And when you know you're really creating value, then people trust you and you got a customer, right? So I got nothing to hold back. It's fine.
Give it to us, Alex.
Hey, I was up really late working on this stuff. I'm ready to share it.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
My number four prediction is that housing prices will not fall.
And
quite simply, we can go in a lot of details of that, but the long and the short of it is there is just such a chronic undersupply that even though multifamily starts are at the lowest point they are in 39 months, and even though construction, that lowest point 39 months, it's a 42% drop year over year. And even though we're spending more on construction as an economy than we ever have, record high, we're building homes at the same rate that we were in 1995. It's just not enough to keep up.
You don't see pricing going down, Alex, but because of the housing shortage, are they going to maybe continue to go up?
So housing, year over year, median house. Now, of course, this is very different market to market, type of house, etc. But median home price has risen 3.7% over the last 12 months. And we see inflation 3.7% over the last 12 months. So they've been about flat in real terms. And that is even with the largest increase in interest rates at this pace in history. And we've had mortgage rates over 7% for the last 5 weeks. And that's just fundamentally because there's nothing to buy, right? Something like 80% of people still have a mortgage sub 3.5%.
Yeah, and somebody told me recently, we had them on a show, they said, even if builders build for the next 3-4 years, we still can't catch up.
That's right. That's what I mean by chronic. We're so far behind that massive building's not going to catch us up. And I'm going to tell you one more thing about that building. Sometimes you see these headlines, like I've seen in Wall Street Journal, record number of multifamily units delivered last year, record number of permits applied for, so forth and so on. And we did have a lot of building over the last 18 months. But you got to look at what is being built. And if you look at apartments that are $1,200 and less, the number of those units has gone down by about 6 million units over the last 8 years, right? It's all the B&A class stuff that's being built. And I understand that's what developers can afford to build. So the workforce housing, there is a chronic shortage of that will not get any better. So here's another term for you. Rent-burdened households. Those are households that spend more than 30% of their income on rent. Record high, over 20 million people. Ultra rent burden households, people that spend over 50% of their income on rent, record high. Millions of people, I forget the exact number. I don't see big macroeconomic changes that are going to let that loose and unleash building.
Well, and that's part of the reason you see a lot of families, and I'm one of them, where you have kids that are in their early 20s, and they can't afford to move out.
Yeah, and that's, as an economics professor, I'll just share for a second, that's one of the things I worry about, right? I like teaching about markets, capitalism, business changing people's lives, and free markets leading to growth.
Instead, people are just trying to survive.
Right, right. And I like to think that I'm a nice contrast to what students are hearing in their sociology class. And then I worry, even though I could defend why capitalism is great and why we need the price system and why entrepreneurs are helpful, I worry these folks graduate, they get the first job, they're making 30, 40 grand a year, and they've got to do their time in that entry-level position. They go and get an apartment, and they say, shucks, 30% is gone to rent? This system is stacked against me.
Yeah.
And that biases them against other things that we need free markets and entrepreneurship to solve. So really, this housing crisis is going to have a lot of social impacts. And I worry that causes people to delay marriage. It might cause them to not move somewhere for a better paying job, right? There's a lot of other impacts aside from the pure economic that this housing shortage is going to have.
Let's go to number five.
Number five is that construction prices won't fall. That really tight labor market that I talked about. I was in the West Coast a couple days ago, and at In-N-Out Burger, the starting wage is $24 an hour, okay? Then you can get paid in the upper teens to work at an Amazon warehouse. Why would you want to go and swing a hammer on a construction site and just kill yourself when you think about that?
But didn't prices all go up because of the supply chain issue we had?
Yep.
But you're saying they're not going to come down. Even though the supply chain supposedly is not fixed, but it's much better than it was.
That's right. Better than it was, but it's really hard to disentangle what was going on. Because were there supply chain issues? Of course. But that was combined with printing 40% more money and spending $6 trillion. and that's been combined with an increasingly burdensome regulatory state, zoning laws that get more onerous every year, and then higher interest rates, and unfortunately, this labor shortage.
Wow. Those were the talking points tonight. And you said Chris had you come down here. And now you're from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
How in the world did you connect with Chris?
A good friend of mine from college is a friend of Chris's. And he said, Chris puts on great events.
Yeah.
Maybe you ought to attend. And I said, would love to attend. Would love to shop for hotels in Atlanta that might make sense as potential conversions to multifamily. That's my business. And Chris says, come and give a little talk at our event. But you can't use PowerPoint. There are my 5 points. But If folks are interested, you can go to my website and you can download the slides. I put a link at the top of the website. You can download the slides that show all the graphs and data and a little bit more lengthy explanation of everything that I just said if you're interested. And that's at villicus.capital, V-I-L-I-C-U-S. Villicus is stands for steward in Latin. And as an academic, I think that Latin names are very serious and appropriate. So this
Well played. So you are looking for investment properties all over the country then?
That's right. We're looking at markets where it makes sense. And so fundamentally, like I said, we cannot expand this supply of housing via building because of the way the interest rates are, the labor costs are, the material costs are. And then you combine that with the fact that you got all this demand for workforce housing. And then you turn around and I look at the hospitality market, where every city's got old hotels. And every 5-7 years, those hotels have got to remodel. And at some point, it's just not worth remodeling anymore. And at some point, those older hotels, they become a hotbed for crime, transient folks. They don't bring in a lot of property taxes. And they can be purchased at pretty competitive prices. Well, we want to purchase those at competitive prices, convert them, physically convert them, adding kitchens to rooms if needed, etc. But also financially convert them by getting them rezoned as multifamily, lease them up to people that want to rent somewhere for $750 to $850 a month, including utilities and including things like internet, TV, and furnishings. And then once they're stabilized, we refinance them as multifamily.
You're helping a lot of people, but you're able to make it a business too.
That's right.
It's still a business at the end of the day.
It's a business at the end of the day, and we don't have to have government subsidies in order to make it work. As a free market kind of guy, I'm happy about that. But why everybody should be happy about that is that means that we're not dependent on any one administration being in office or the or getting some fixed pot of money from the government in order to make this model work. And this is the kind of thing that can be done in every major city in the country. They all need more affordable housing. And in every economic environment, somebody needs to rent something for $800 a month. And that's a product that just can't be built. And it's where a lot of demand exists.
Alex, I could speak to you all night long. A couple more questions, I'll let you go.
I love it.
How has it been in Atlanta so far? Have you found any? I don't know how long you've been here, but have you found anything? Have you been looking around? Because I would think Atlanta would be a great market for what you're doing.
I think so, too. It's been a couple hours.
Okay.
We're shopping tomorrow, but if anybody listening knows of any old hotels, send them my way.
Okay. And your thoughts tonight, now that you're a couple hours into this CCC event, your impressions?
I love how curated the crowd is.
Yeah.
Right? There's not just a bunch of people from one industry. And I love coming somewhere where everybody is dressed well. That's important to me. That shows that we're in the right crowd. And any crowd that wants to get together on a Friday night and listen to an economist, the people are awesome. I'm all about it.
Well said. Alex Cartwright, the company is Villicus, and the website again is?
Villicus.capital.
V-I-L-I-C-U-S. Thank you so much for coming by. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Mike.
A reminder, we're here, I don't even know what time it is. Is it close to 9 o'clock? We're here till 9 o'clock. What time is it, Alex?
8 o'clock. We got a whole other hour.
We got a whole other hour that we're going to be broadcasting from the CCC event here at the Ivy and Buckhead. So stay tuned right here to Business Radio X.